The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As you know, level 5 restrictions have been officially extended until at least March the 5th. A number of changes have been introduced, as well as new quarantine rules on entering the state. There are higher fines and there are border checks. Will it be enough to curb the virus until the vaccine has been rolled out across the country? Well, Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, neuroscientist and molecular biologist Tomás Ryan is on the line. Tomás, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What do you make of the government's plans? I mean, it does seem tougher on the face of it.
Well, I think it's kicking to touch. March 5th is not going to be soon enough to get our situation under control, to get cases low enough to control. I think we're facing a choice as to how we spend 2021. If we keep kind of going along with this ad hoc strategy, what's going to happen is by about mid-March, we'll open up start opening up for hospitality and so on in this kind of half-hearted way. We'll get, you know, a few weeks of level 2.5 to level 3.5, and then we'll have another spike. It probably won't be quite as bad as Christmas, but, you know, we don't know with the new variants. The new variants are now dominant, so level 3 probably won't work at all, in fact. And then we'll be in another lockdown, and then we can have another one by summer, potentially. And that's going to be how it is for most of this year until we have widespread vaccination, which, all going well, assuming supply, assuming the HSE do everything properly, will be October. I don't think that's a very good strategy, and the rest of the independent scientific advocacy group don't think that's a very good strategy. The alternative is that we start doing an aggressive suppression strategy right now with a target of zero. And this has widespread public support today. It also has support from all of the opposition parties. It also has support from dissenting voices in the government parties. We've heard Green Party senator do a speech yesterday where he was advocating for a zero COVID policy, Senator Vincent Martin. We've seen at least one Fianna Fáil TD come out very strongly for a New Zealand style approach. None other than Francis Fitzgerald, a Fine Gael MEP, wrote a very powerful article on Sunday insisting that we need mandatory hotel quarantine if we're going to get the economy back up and running.
Tomás, that in Britain they are now thinking about this mandatory hotel quarantine. They say it'll take them 2 or 3 weeks to get the hotels in place to do it. Obviously a much bigger economy than ours, people coming in from all over the place, and yet they're contemplating doing it. We always hear the border is the problem. What do you say to those arguments?
Well, if mandatory hotel quarantine will take a few weeks at least to set up, we need to start now. It starts becoming an issue, Pat, when you're down to about 100 cases. Now, right now, the cases from abroad don't make a huge difference. Obviously, we want to keep out the dangerous variants from South Africa and Brazil that may be resistant to the vaccine. But in terms of total case numbers, hotel quarantine starts becoming an issue once we get to about 100, 150 cases, but we should start setting it up now. Regarding the border, of course, this is an important issue, and the ideal situation would be an all-island approach. And we really haven't seen evidence that our politicians have been engaging in a serious way with people in Northern Ireland, and I think that the onus is on them to do so. The scientific community had the defeatist attitude that we've seen from politicians with respect to the border, then we wouldn't have a vaccine for another 5 or 6 years. And the reality is that more people have died in the pandemic because of COVID-19 than in over 30 years of the Troubles. So I do think an all-island approach needs to be explored, or a two-island approach. But in the meantime, Pat, the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group have developed a plan that we think would allow us to deal with the fact that we have two jurisdictions on the island. And we're going to be discussing this in a public webinar, which starts today in 45 minutes and will be presided over by Eamon Dunphy. And what we'll be doing is we'll be having an open discussion with four speakers, one of whom is Sam Scarpino, who's an extremely well-known epidemiologist from Boston. And he's looking at how mobility affects COVID-19 infections. He's done a lot of work on this in China, because we don't really know how much infections in Northern Ireland have contributed to COVID-19 in the Republic. And based on genetic analysis, it does seem in the past that they're very different virus populations. So we need to figure out how much Northern Ireland is contributing to the South and what we can do to mitigate it. And Pat, it's not about managing the border, right? It's about managing the virus. And we've done this before. Yeah. We've done this with Laois, Offaly and Kildare, with local lockdowns. And if there was a major outbreak in Cork, for whatever reason, we would have to manage that locally as well. We wouldn't put the whole country at level five. We would put Cork at level five. So it's the same thing with respect to the border. It's not a political thing. It's about public health barriers. And the idea would be, in the crudest terms, and I wouldn't advocate for this, we could just put the border counties under level five lockdown for the rest of the pandemic. But we don't want to do that. And we think that there are far more subtle, finessed ways of managing transit across the border if Northern Ireland has higher cases than us at any particular point in time. Mm. We've learned about this from talking to Australian civil servants who've had to manage this when you had New South Wales and Sydney in an effectively zero COVID situation, and Melbourne and Victoria had major outbreaks. And one of the tricks was to have border bubbles, so people living on these border communities would not have their lives interfered with. If your school or your workplace, your family was across the border, then you should not be affected. And then around border bubbles, you would have sentinel zones where you would keep an extra close eye on the infection rate. And as part of a comprehensive strategy for monitoring and allowing mobility across the border. And the reality is, most of the mobility that we need to be concerned with is from Dublin to Belfast, construction workers from the north in working in Dublin. That would need to be managed. But the point is, it doesn't have to be perfect. And while we accept that if you want to get a perfect zero COVID situation for the whole island, and I mean by perfect zero COVID, Pat, I mean going 60,000 people at the Aviva without face masks. That is possible with an all-island approach. With border management, we'd probably not get to level zero. Maybe we would get to it from Munster and parts of Connacht. But the silver medal is getting to level one. And we've never had a plan from government to get to level one. Why have we never had a strategy for how we get to level one in the government framework, which could mean wet pubs open, socially distanced, mask wearing, and no more lockdowns? And that sounds a hell of a lot.
We know that they set their faces against quarantining people on the way in hotels, perhaps at government expense initially, but certainly at people's own expense. They turned their faces against this, saying, oh, no, certain people have got to come in and, you know, keep our economy turning and all of that kind of thing. Now they are beginning to move in the direction that people have been pushing them for quite a long time. But it seems sluggish at best. And they've used Northern Ireland as an excuse. I think it probably suits Arlene Foster as well in Northern Ireland, that there isn't this kind of close cooperation that would be required for bubbles and other such measures.
I think you've hit the head on the nail there, Pat. I think that Northern Ireland has been the excuse rather than the real problem. The real problem is international travel. We crushed this virus in summer with our own efforts, and then we reseeded the country with variants that came from Spain that weren't here before the summer. We can't keep doing this again. The writing is on the wall. The government are going to have to do mandatory hotel quarantine. And then we have to engage with the border. And if we want the DUP and the unionist community in general to take us seriously, then we need to show that we're serious. When we have mandatory hotel quarantine sorted, when we start sharing contact tracing information with Stormont, which we should be doing, obviously, and when we have a border plan in place that is going to be enacted, if we don't get an all-island approach, then they'll know we're serious. And then we can start to have a serious conversation about how we might have...
Tomás, you know, with the best will in the world, I can hear, we had Sammy Wilson on the other day, but I can hear the members of the DUP particularly saying, there's no one who's going to prevent someone coming from one part of my country to the other part. In other words, you come from Scunthorpe to Belfast, and they see that as part of their country, and you can't stop people from going A to B. Now, they are part of the United Kingdom, and we know in Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon takes precisely that view. But, you know, the politics of Northern Ireland is sensitive, to put it mildly.
Right now, today, if I was a senior DUP politician, I would have the attitude that this is a moot discussion until the Republic of Ireland, until the government of the Republic of Ireland gets serious. After the Republic of Ireland gets serious, on having an aggressive suppression strategy with a target of zero, then the question the DUP need to ask is, what did their electorate want? And I think it's becoming clear that most people in Northern Ireland will favour a strategy from a public health perspective that looks after their well-being and the well-being of their families.
Some of the comments from News Talk listeners: the virus killed more on the island in 1 year than the 30-year war on the island did. That's from Frankie. The biggest movement north to south is construction. Our government won't be stopping that. Friends in New Zealand sending me pictures of crowds watching the fireworks on New Year's Eve, a 21st birthday last night, playing to their strength of being an island. And no one is starving for lack of visitors and imports. Maria says, this is a genuine question. Do we keep our borders closed and locked down every time when we hear about a new mutation? This is a genuine question. Another one: everyone wants zero COVID, like everyone wants zero flu. It's unrealistic. What do you say to those kind of comments?
Well, the idea would be that we'd have mandatory hotel quarantine until we have widespread immunity. So whenever the most of the population gets vaccinated, then we open up. That's the plan in Australia and New Zealand also. I've heard some people in government say, oh, but then what if a variant emerges that is vaccine resistant? Well, that's exactly why we want zero COVID. You know, we want zero COVID or something like it.
If it can't come in, then it can't spread. And that's the bottom line. Tomas, how do people who want to look at your webinar, how do they tune into that?
You can look at our website, Google ISAG or Independent Scientific Advocacy Group. We're also on Twitter, ISAG COVID-19. It's a Zoom webinar. You can register in advance. It will also be published on YouTube and on our website later today.
All right. Look, thank you very much for joining us. That's Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, neuroscientist and molecular biologist Tomas Ryan. Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Liam Herrick, is on the line. Hello, Liam.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you have been talking about this and, you know, whether or not the actions in forcing people to quarantine in hotels and so on, whether it's proportionate and if it is an infringement on civil liberties. What do you think?
I think, Pat, you know, whatever restrictions the government wishes to put in place on our rights, the public have accepted a lot of restrictions on rights because they, in some instances, they've seen that the government has shown how specific measures are necessary and how they're proportionate. One of the difficulties we have at the moment is it's not very clear what specific objectives the government is trying to achieve by some of the measures, and it's also not clear how they're proportionate. I mean, certainly if we're looking at this question of new rules on home quarantine, one of the challenges we have there is if the guards are going to be enforcing this. This raises complicated questions about police powers to enter people's homes. Now, there's a delicate constitutional
balance. Hang on a second. I mean, what are you talking about, enter people's homes? I mean, a simple curfew, for example, and we've heard earlier on the programme about the riots in Holland about the curfew there. But they don't have to actually go into your home. Are you saying that if I go looking for Joe Bloggs, who's supposed to be quarantining at home, and I want proof positive that person is in fact inside the house, that I go in and surely you just say, let him show his face. If he doesn't, he's fined. If he does, we walk away. What's wrong with that?
Well, these are exactly the questions, Pat, that are being asked by the Garda Representative Association. The bottom line is we don't know what's being proposed at present. I mean, one of the important points here is there was a reference in Owen Thomas's contribution about data protection. When the passenger locator form system was introduced last May, one of the key principles justifying it was that this was personal health data, that the HSE would control it, and it wouldn't be shared with criminal justice agencies, wouldn't be used for criminal justice purposes. So if we're talking about guard enforcement, we've got a big question around that. And the guards are asking, what do I do if I come to somebody's home and they're not there? Are we meant to enforce in that context? I think these are questions that need to be answered. With regard to the mandatory quarantine measures, again, the state is taking on a duty of care to effectively detain people in hotels, we're understood. But we need to know, what's the particular purpose now? Is it because of specific variants from specific countries? Are they going to review it on a weekly or monthly basis if the variants change, for example? And also, what safeguards is the government putting in place? Because we've got experience from New Zealand and Australia about, you know, are we going to provide healthcare? Is there going to be inspections? Is there going to be doctors available? All of these types of questions. Again, no information. So I think we're at a point now where the government is making proposals about very severe restrictions with very little detail and very little information for the public about proportionality. And I think in the bigger question, touching on what Tomás has said, you know, the government is asking people to consider very severe rights restrictions with no clear picture of what the end game is, you know, what the goal is. And whatever about zero COVID, which might be a little bit distant for us at the moment, like, what's the strategy for reopening schools, you know? And I think the balance of rights discussion at the moment has so many gaps between what the government is trying to achieve that it's very difficult for the public to really engage with, I think, some of what's being put forward at the moment.
Yeah. One of my texters here on Newstalk says, I'm beyond angry at our politicians who are displaying zero competence. What a shower of fumbling fools. We are 10 months into this crisis, for God's sake, and we have no plan, no strategy. It's just firefighting. We are doomed to lockdown after lockdown with yo-yo case numbers and more deaths. Why are they refusing to listen to our very knowledgeable scientists? I just despair. And this is what you're talking about, Liam. You know, it does seem like it's reacting to the latest crisis rather than saying, this is what we do. In circumstance X, we do Y. In circumstance A, we do B. But it all seems to be, you know, making it up on the hoof.
Like, Pat, you know, this is all about a balance of rights, and there's nothing absolute here. Measures like mandatory quarantine, I think there are serious questions we need to evaluate. But if we're going to do the balance of rights, we need to understand, you know, what are we trying to achieve, for what period of time, and then when will they be lifted? And I think the public have shown an incredible forbearance to put up with restrictions on our rights for specific reasons. But I think we're not in that space at the moment. Certainly, control of international travel is something that we need to look at. But we've had passenger locator forms since May, and they haven't actually been enforced. You know, there's been call for testing at airports going back to May, June. That hasn't been put in place. And now we're leaping to a system of mandatory quarantine, where it seems that hardly anybody would be quarantined anyway, because, you know, we assume people won't get on planes without tests because they should be stopped from travelling, and there's no direct travel from the countries that are named. So I think there is an incoherence here, which is a problem. And really, the bigger picture of the public health effort here, Pat, should be based on solidarity, you know, bringing people along with us. And I think the government really has a big onus at the moment to really be much clearer about building solidarity, a positive communication message of the goal we're trying to get to. And I think many of us can't quite see what that goal is just now.
All right, we will leave it there. Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, Liam Herrick, thank you very much.